Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
I have pointed out things that are true. Ask a question set in Acts 7, verse 1, which asks, are these things so? I have pointed out iniquities of the people and the laws, the commandments they have broken. I've heard and pointed out the complaint, or charge, if you will, against the, quote, evil people who refuse to hear my words, unquote. They are charged with breaking multiple laws, the commandments, breaking the everlasting covenant, not keeping vows made to God, treachery, rebelling against their God, and the referent of this God is Tommy L. Hart, and breaking the commandment which speaks to the people and their God, which commandment the people have not kept but have rebelled against. The people have a legal obligation to fear or reverence the Lord Tommy L. Hart, but they have not feared the Lord Tommy L. Hart. They do not fear God, the Lord Tommy L. Hart. The people are legal servants of the Lord God Tommy L. Hart, but they do not serve the Lord Tommy L. Hart. Rather, they fight overtly against him. The people are bound by their own covenant to serve and obey the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, but they have not kept, they have not honored their own covenant. In their vows made to God, the Lord Tommy L. Hart, the people do not perform their vows. The people are in full-blown rebellion against the law and God, the Lord Tommy L. Hart. They are all in sin. That's spoken to the people in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 is true. It says, I quote, ye are yet in your sin, end of quote. Romans 5, verse 2 says, all have sinned, all are sinners. The people are turned against the commandment of God. They are turned against their own covenant of God. They are turned against their vows made to God, and they are turned against the one true God, their God, Tommy L. Hart. That's spoken in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 26, is true. It says, of the people, or to the people, thou hast rejected the word of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. In the preceding episode, I showed the condemnation. Zechariah 13, verse 7. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Allow me to interject this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, by grace ye are saved. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, by grace are ye saved through faith. I ask, are those statements true? First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 speaks to the matter, saying, they, the people, are commanded to be under obedience, as says the law. I have read the law on this program. Consult Lawmaster Archives and familiarize yourself with the law. Make sure it is the latest reading of the law, that the latest reading of the law is the official presentation of the law, which is at times referred to as the commandment and the law of the Lord. Now back to those two statements in Ephesians chapter 2. By grace ye are saved, and by grace are ye saved through faith. Let me bring forward yet another statement. It is found in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, and says, ye are not under the law, but under grace. Are those three statements true? I say to you emphatically, no. Those statements are not true, according to the AVB. The 1 Corinthians 14:34 statement speaks to the truth. Truth is, the people are commanded to be obedient to the law. Which then is better, grace, or grace through faith, or obedience? Of course, obedience is better. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 says, and I quote, behold, to obey is better, end of quote. the statement goes on to say, than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. It does not get any better than to obey. But to obey what? Answer, to obey the commandment, the law, to obey the word of the Lord, to obey the voice of the Lord. It doesn't get any better than that. Point. Grace does not save one from obeying the commandment. Grace through faith does not deliver one from his obligation to obey the law. Grace and grace through faith, as taught in Christianity, are both in the realm of lawlessness, just as Christianity is. To obey the commandment of the Lord is better. Speak about religion? Consider Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. It says, and I quote, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. End of quote. Sacrifices are no match for sin. What about sacraments? Dictionary.com says of sacrament, I quote, ecclesiastical, a physical sign of an inward grace, especially one of the solemn Christian rites considered to have been instituted by Jesus Christ to symbolize or confer grace. The sacraments of the Protestant churches are baptism and the Lord's Supper. The sacraments of the Roman Catholic and Greek Orthodox churches are baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, matrimony, penance, holy orders, and extreme unction. Two, also called Holy Sacrament, the Eucharist or Lord's Supper. Three, the consecrated elements of the Eucharist, especially the bread. End of quote. Like sacrifices, sacraments can never take away sin. Sacraments can never take away sin. Remember, a sin is a criminal offense. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, to sin is to break more laws or commandments. To sin is to break a law or commandment. Remember also what's been said of the Bible character Jesus. Jesus is a fictitious character. He is not real in the Bible story. He was put to death for his own sin. Okay, sacrifices and sacraments can never take away sin. But what about the priest and confession? Answer, like sacrifices and sacraments, priests can never take away sin, and the thing of confessing to a priest, no avail. Confessing to a priest can never take away sin. To the priesthood, it is all an act. Sacrifices, sacraments, priests, and confessing to priests can never take away sins. To obey the commandment of the Lord is better than sacrifices, sacraments, the Christian faith, priests and confessing to priests. And do get this, the fictitious character Jesus can never take away sin. The fictitious character Jesus sinned and could not save himself. There are statements in the AVB which point or paint a picture of death preceding judgment. Is that a true picture? Some of the statements are 1 John 5:28 through 29. It says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." 2. John 11, verses 25 and 26. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." 3. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." 4. Hebrews 9, 27. "And as it is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment." The fourth statements speak of dying, then being judged. Is that the correct order? Death, then judgment? Before I give my answer, I want to show you what the Bible teaches to be the truth with regard to death. I take you to Job chapter 14, verse 14. The question is asked, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The answer comes in the same chapter, verses 10 through 12, saying, "But man dies and wastes away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As this fell from the sea, and the flood decayeth and dries up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep." That is the AVB's authoritative answer to the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" It says of the dead, "They do not rise, they shall not be awakened, nor be raised out of their sleep." It is a straightforward, easy-to-understand answer, and the question as well, "The dead rise not." So it says, death is an end, that there is a saying to that effect. It says, "When you're dead, you're done." Ecclesiastes chapter 5 through 6 chimes in agreement with Job 14, 10 through 12, saying, "The living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." The answer is clear. Death is an end of life forever, according to the authoritative word of the AVB. Now, these last two statements obviously do not agree with the preceding four statements. The last two statements are the true teaching of the AVB, and the preceding four statements are anti-truth. The answer to the question on the order of death and judgment is this. Judgment before death and not death before judgment. I find judgment is for the living and not the dead, as in a court of law where living people are judged. This knowledge of judgment is important. It helps to understand the present judgment. Before the necessary deviation, I said these three things to the people. All have sinned, all are sinners. Ye, the people, are yet in your sins. I said, to obey is better than grace, grace through faith, the Christian faith, sacrifice, sacraments, priests, and confessing to priests. To obey the commandment of God is better. Visit me on Twitter, Tommy L. Hart. Hashtag Tommy L. Hart. Visit Lawmaster Archive. Make it a daily habit. Join me next time when the judgment continues.